Good morning. It is 9:28 on Tuesday, December the 3rd, 2024, on a mostly blue sky morning here in the High Plains. You see the Rocky Mountains of Greeley, Colorado. It's a few high thin clouds scattered around here and there. The odd contrail dispersing in the morning sun. You can probably hear the lawnmowers. I think it's migration season for lawnmowers. They're doing their leaf crunching dance. Because God knows the lawn's not growing any. All right, where are you going? You're going that way. All right, fine. This is going to be noisy. Sorry about that. I'm going to go out into the street because I've got trucks and grinders and mowers and leaf blowers, and the sidewalk is blocked. Jesus. Yeah. I can't get away from it. the leaf blower guys are walking in my direction, so I can't. It took me a bit to get beyond the property line, so they turn around and walk the other way. God, that's noisy. Holy cow. That'll teach me to not walk at sunrise. It was cold. It was 22 degrees when I walked out here this morning, when I looked out first. It's 32 now. It's probably up to 34. So it's like around freezing at the moment, 0 centigrade. I guess we're calling it Celsius these days. So yeah, it's frosty, but it's blue sky. The sun feels good. The sun is really good. I'm walking in the shade right now, so I'm anxious to get around the corner to put a little extra mass between me and the noise, and also to pick up the sun again. This morning I'm thinking about Jerry Boyd. If you haven't heard, Jerry Boyd passed away Sunday night apparently in his sleep from a massive heart attack, which I suppose is, on the grand scheme of things, if you have to go, that's not a bad way, I guess. I don't know. I suspect it would be a bit of a shock for anybody in the neighborhood, but so the end of Bob and Nikki, the new venture that he had started, has been nipped in the bud. Jerry's one of those oddballs in self-publishing and science fiction in general, but in science in self-publishing. He succeeded by doing everything wrong. Everything wrong. The only thing he did right was to write a book every month. And I don't know when he really started doing that once a month, but it wasn't right away. I know that for relatively certain. I don't know that for sure. But paragraphs are kind of, in the beginning, paragraphs were sort of a nice to have. This dialogue was hard to pick off the page. There are no, as far as I could tell, there are no chapters. You open the book and you start to read. And then when you get to the end, it stops. There's no chapter breaks. As far as I remember, there's no chapter breaks. There's no, none of the normal stuff that you would expect in a book. And the stories are, almost a parody. Not quite, but almost a parody of space opera. The running jokes that became in jokes as it goes on. The almost fanatical attention paid to the daily routine. Bob's inherent weaknesses. His weirdness, which when you get down to it, wasn't really all that weird. He just did his thing, did things his way. I was really looking forward to some more of it. I think I have two sitting in my queue, just because I have been reading the Wandering Inn for so goddamn long. Holy crap. Jeez. I finished 133 books so far this year. And I have not done 15 in the last 8 weeks. I don't think. I'm on book 13. Is it 13? Yeah, I think it's 13. The Empress of Beasts, whatever, which one that one is. I'm pretty sure it's 13. And just starting it. And as is almost the hallmark of Pirate ABBA, a different style of storytelling, a different approach to explaining what's going on in foreign lands, the exposition of the war in Tikar, as it's exposed from two different points of view, the local point of view in the war, and multiple points of view there, vignettes of various actions and how they appear from one side or the other. It's very well done. It's very powerful. I have to admire the technique. It's it's keeping me engaged. I'm 13 books in. It's a 13 of the longest goddamn books I think I have read, shy of perhaps Ivanhoe or Moby Dick. I still remember suffering through Ivanhoe. I wonder if I should read Ivanhoe again, just to see if it's still as miserable a read as I remember it being. Of course, I had to read it over summer. It was one of those summer reading assignments that threatened to turn me off reading altogether, and would have succeeded had I not had an aunt who was a constant reader and kept supplying the household with science fiction novels, ace doubles, romance books, Mary Stuart, Mary Roberts Reinhardt. I think that was where I read Valley of the Dolls, now that I think of it. Certainly not a book I would have purchased myself. So I must have got it from somewhere, and I suspect it was from one of her grab bags of books I read this month. Now here comes somebody walking a little puppy dog. A little pooch with a flippy tail. See if I can get past the outpost before they show up here. Come up on and get ready, sit with me. One post. Good morning, good morning. It is, it's lovely. It's lovely in the sun, it's a little cold in the shade. My fingers are warming up, that's good. But there's no rain, there's no snow, there's no ice on the sidewalk. And I'm out. Today's the third. I will have walked 2 out of 3. My 40-mile goal is still intact. I've got laundry to do. I've got to break down the turkey carcass today. And if I'm going to freeze some of the meat, I've got to do it before anything else happens to it. I have a whole half of the breast that can be frozen. And then I've got a bunch of odds and ends that I can throw in a stew pot, stew them all down. I've got some navy beans that have been soaking for going on 36 hours now. They should be well and truly soaked at this point. And they'll go into the pot to make a cassoulet. I've got a kielbasa in the fridge. I'm going to put that in there. I've got a bunch of carrots. I've got some celery. I've got a bunch of mushrooms. And the thing about cassoulet, if you look up cassoulet, it's like, oh yeah, it's French cuisine, blah, 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 all this other stuff. And here's the TLDR. Cassoulet has been historically peasant food. You don't need to brown your chicken and set it aside before you put it in the pot to stew. You don't need to go through, you don't need herbe de Provence. You don't need all this other crap. It's meat and beans and usually leftovers and some veg, root crops in particular, since it was a fall and winter dish. It goes in the oven and it cooks, usually bakes, like baked beans would, except it's got all this other stuff in it. And it's not sweet like New England baked beans. Downey's baked beans, B&M baked beans, are sweet. They a lot of molasses, a lot of brown sugar. Very sweet. Depending on how you make them, of course, you can make it with less if you want, if you make them yourself, but if you buy by the can, it's pretty sweet. And the way I learned, they were very sweet there. A lot of brown sugar. A pound of beans, a quarter cup of brown sugar, a quarter cup of molasses on top, and a little dry mustard. We never put tomato sauce in it. We never put tomato sauce in our beans. Although, when I started, when I was watching Alton Brown, his Once and Future beans were kind of eye-opening. I tend to follow his recipe more than my own these days. But the thing that got me was the addition of cayenne pepper and a jalapeno. And I'm like, really? Okay. And of course, when I made it back in my youth in Maine, and I made them once, actually, I did a house-sitting gig in Kodiak for a week. And I used salt pork. Used to be able to buy salt pork, a little block of salt pork. It was like 2 or 3 ounces. And it wasn't something you would want to eat, but it was something that you put in the pan to give the beans a little bit of flavor. And Alton Brown substitutes bacon, smoked bacon, chopped up for the salt pork. Now, it's a good thing because, as far as I can tell, there is no salt pork in the market. I can't find salt pork in the market here. I've looked for it. I haven't looked for it online. But you can't get it. I haven't found it. So the bacon works good. So bacon beans works good. It's the pork fat to render down, to sweat the onions, to set up the base, to throw the beans and the bean water on top, and on and on and on and on and on. And then tomato. And the reason he puts the tomato in, it's not very much, it's just like a dash. He put it in just a dash. I put it in one of the small cans of tomato paste. But the reason for that is so that when you salt the beans don't split. If you just salt the beans have a tendency to split. Now, I don't have a problem with split beans, but it's nice having beans that hold together well. They provide a little toothsomeness. They're not like mashed up refried beans or something. Not that there's anything wrong with mashed up refried beans. I kind of like it, really. Yeah, is that sun beating on my face here? It's kind of warm. It's good. We like that. So, baked beans. Cassoulet. Peasant food. I'm a peasant. So we use the turkey carcass and whatever meat falls off the carcass. And I think I can throw in a drumstick and it's probably a thigh. Certainly at least one wing. Throw that in, stew it all up, break the carcass down, let it stew for a couple hours, fish the bones out. I'll throw the beans in, let it stew in the bean water. Pulling the bones out is a pain in the butt, but man, it is so worth it. It is just so worth it. And, you know, throw in 2 or 3 cloves of garlic. I got some rosemary and thyme left over from making the cornbread pudding. I should make a fresh cornbread pudding to go with it. That would be delicious. Maybe I'll do that. Because I got all these leftovers. I had to buy a quart of heavy cream in order to get the cup I needed. because there were no pints left when I went shopping. There were no single serve. Cups left when I went shopping. So I bought a quart. I've been using it in everything. I put heavy cream in my, made turkey tetrazzini, put heavy cream in that. That was really good. I didn't put enough garlic in it, but it was good. Here comes a guy with his little dog. Morning. Willow trees looking willowy. Get ahead of him a little bit here. Dog walks slow, so does he, so it's no big obstacle. I'm gonna fix my gate again. I got a scissor jack. I salvaged a scissor jack from one of the vehicles and jacked my gate up and tightened up the cable. And I looked out the other day and the cable was had broken loose. The little crampy bit at the top wasn't cramped solidly enough. So now it's back sitting on the ground. I've got to get back out there. Tighten up the cable again, jack it up some more, try to put it level. The problem is, of course, that level is relative, and the cable stretches when it's under stress. So I actually have to jack it up a little higher than I want it, and then tighten the cable as far as it'll go, and then let the cable down. Yeah. Stuff to do. At any rate, on this frosty morning at 9:51 a.m. on a Tuesday, I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day, and with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.